Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good happy Thursday morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. I want to begin our broadcast out of Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Let me read that again. I know it's Old Testament. We're going to get into the New Testament, but listen to the word of the Lord through the prophet Hosea. Set the trumpet to your mouth. He shall come as an eagle. Now we're going to see who the he shall come is in a moment, but he shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. Now, I want you to think about, in the Old Testament, obviously, the house of the Lord was Israel. The house of the Lord could refer to the temple. But we know today that the house of the Lord, we are his house. The new covenant believers, the Christian church, the one new man in the earth, the Jew and the Gentile who have become one. It's not so much a physical building as much as it is a people. And in the Old Testament, we learn and we are admonished, and we are given examples, and that's what the New Testament says in Corinthians, that everything that was written in the Old Testament was for our admonition and for our learning, so that we don't make the same mistakes that they do. And when we make the same mistakes that they do, we see the same judgment, because God never changes his behavior. He is always the same. God, let's say it together, has not had an attitude adjustment. He has not gone to anger management classes. He has not had an aha experience and realized that he was being too hard or too harsh. No, God is always the same, and he's always perfect. Now, what has changed are the covenants. We have the covenant with Adam. We have a covenant with Noah. We have a covenant with Abraham. We have a covenant with David. We have all these different covenants, but we know that the particular Old Testament covenant, if you will, is with Moses and the house of Israel. And we know that the new covenant was ratified in the blood of Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. Covenants have changed. One was by the law, the other by grace. And the new covenant people, if you're a new covenant believer, there are two covenants that you should be concerned with. not the Mosaic. You should be concerned with, as a new covenant believer, the covenant of Abraham and the covenant of Jesus Christ, which is a better covenant with better promises. However, we do have the Abrahamic blessing on our lives as believers. So you and I, particularly, we would call ourselves in the past Gentiles. We had nothing to do with the law of Moses. The law of Moses was a very particular covenant given particularly to the house of Israel. Israel was an old covenant people, and that old covenant that was given to them, when in the book of Acts they tried to give it to the Gentiles, the apostles said, no way. We're not going to put them, the Gentiles, under the same yoke. The Gentiles who come to faith in Jesus Christ become grafted into Israel, but not Israel's old covenant. They are grafted into Israel, and they go back to the Abrahamic covenant, and they receive the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. And Israel should be flowing into the new covenant as well, for it was written in the prophets and in the old covenant that there would come a new covenant. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 30, 31, and all those areas. And so, and it's confirmed in the book of Hebrews. So we're looking at Hosea chapter 8. And again, my point is covenants change, but God never changes. The covenants that are connected to Abraham and Jesus are covenants of grace. And grace is the can-do, if you will. Some people think that the old covenant of the law, the Mosaic law with Israel, was the more powerful covenant. But we have to remember what the Bible says about that old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, okay? All it did was reinforce the condemnation that was in the soul of the people. The new covenant of grace has the ability to sweep clean the conscience from guilt, shame, and condemnation, and to release the people into perfection or maturity or completion. And so being a Gentile who has come to faith in Yeshua, we have become part of the one new man, and it is the Jew and the Gentile that has come into Christ. And always remember that we have been born again into Christ. We have not been born again into Israel. Even though we've been grafted into Israel, remember, Israel, the true Israel of God, is Christ. Okay, now we could, if you have questions about that, make sure you write it down. We'll talk about it more in detail. So I say all of that to go back to Hosea, set the trumpet to your mouth, for he, the adversary, shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. Why? Because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. So the reason why the enemy was coming against the house of Israel under the old covenant was because the transgression of God's law, the Mosaic law, his statutes, his ordinances, all those things. Well, when we shift into the new covenant, we have to ask ourselves a question. If we are in covenant with God, and I'm going to ask you right now, are you in covenant with God, the creator of the universe, the God of Israel, the God of Adam, the God of Abraham, Noah, and all the rest? Are you in covenant with him? Okay, you say yes. So was it ratified in blood? The old covenant was ratified in the blood of bulls and goats. Okay, so the new covenant we know is ratified in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Yeshua. So if you're in a covenant with God and that covenant is sealed with blood, what is your part in the covenant? Because every covenant, there has to be two people come into agreement. What is God's part and what is your part? And question is, if Israel could break the covenant, the old covenant, the Mosaic law, can the people of the new covenant break the new covenant? My question would be, would people even know if they're breaking the new covenant? Would they even have an understanding, idea? Well, obviously, with all the teaching that we hear in the new covenant about people falling away, the love of many falling away, many coming and saying, Lord, Lord, open unto me. I prophesied in your name. I did all these things in your name. They're obviously new covenant people. And yet he says, depart from me. I never knew you. That shows me that there are people that have broken a covenant, the new covenant, and didn't even know they broke the new covenant. And we're living in the last days, and the thought here in Hosea is that the adversary is coming like an eagle against the house of the Lord, whose house are we at this time, because they have transgressed my covenant. And I'm asking, has America, has the church in America, have you and I transgressed God's covenant? And so Israel, it was easy for them to say they transgressed the covenant unless they were totally blinded by their sin. Then they, you know, they would just forget. But there were so many ordinances. There were so many laws. There were Ten Commandments. And this is all part of the Mosaic Covenant. And if they broke it, they kind of knew it. And then their hearts get hardened because of the deceitfulness of sin and so on and so forth. So in this new covenant that we have been enjoined to, you and I as believers, we're in it. It's ratified in blood. God has done his part, will continue to do his part, because God never breaks covenant. And do you know that one of the things in Romans that God hates more than anything are covenant breakers? So how do we know we're covenant breakers? This is what I believe is important to a Christian today, because if you're in covenant with God, then there are covenant promises for you and I to have. And yet we know a lot of Christians who claim to have the new covenant promises, or to be in covenant with God through Jesus Christ, but have not received the promises. And I'm wondering if the people that are not receiving the promises are simply people that have broken the covenant. So what is this covenant of God in the new covenant? What covenant are you joined to? What covenant am I joined to? Now, if I'm trying to be squeaky clean and keep the law and be perfect in my flesh, well, obviously, I don't understand the new covenant, because the new covenant is a covenant of faith, and it is a covenant of grace, and it is a covenant of mercy. But faith, grace, and mercy are not excuses to live a carnal, fleshly, Adamic life. They are not excuses to maintain an Adamic human nature. So we've got to really get this thing worked out, because time is running by and people are passing away. And every person that leaves this earth, you know, they're going to stand before the Lord, just as you and I would today. We will stand before the Lord, and we will have to make sure he's going to say to us, now, I gave you my promises. I gave you my covenant. Have you obeyed it? And in Hosea chapter 8, when the house of Israel did not obey the covenant, he sent an adversary against him. Now, today, the United States, I recall in my research and study, just talking about America, that the founding fathers of our nation made covenant with God through Jesus Christ when they came to this land. They put up crosses. They built churches. Their government was surrounded by the word of God. Their laws were promoted by the word of God and the Ten Commandments. And that's why we saw them in the halls of justice for such a long time. And so there's no doubt the nation made a covenant with God. Now, did other people come that had nothing to do with God? Yes. The industrialists came. The capitalists came. People that wanted to start a new life and make money and, you know, do all those things. Yes, they did come. And not everybody was connected to the covenant of Jesus, because there's always two trees in the midst of the garden. And everybody is given a choice as to which tree they want to feed off of. But we Christians today have opportunity to feed off of the Christian values, the Christian heritage. And of course, even if the Christian values and the Christian heritage of our nation disappeared, we still have a tree of life called Jesus that we could partake of independently and individually. So America was a covenanted nation. The first founding fathers in the early 1600s were the ones that made the covenants. We're talking about the Pilgrims, the Puritans. We're talking about those that came for the fresh air of liberty and the Spirit of God. Volumes of information confirming this. So here's the problem. We go back to Hosea chapter 8, and we hear about a people that have transgressed the covenant and trespassed against God's law. In verse 2, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Now, I want you to think about this. How many in the Christian church right now would say, my God, we know thee? Because Israel knew God. They knew his law. They knew his covenant. They knew his ordinances, his statutes, his judgments. they will cry, my God, we know thee. And a lot of people today in the church, in the ecclesia, not a church building, not a denomination, but people, cry out, we know you, God. And yet calamities are hitting their lives. One blow after another is coming against them. And they cry, God, we know you. But what they, like the Israelites have done, they say they know God with their lips, but in their heart they don't know God because they don't know his ways. Now, if they knew his ways, they never would have transgressed his laws. And for the Christian community in America today, particularly because we live here, if we knew the covenant of Christ, this nation would not be in the condition that it's in, period. If we were abiding in the covenant of Christ, we would not be in the condition that we are in. Okay, is that coming through loud and clear? I hope so. Okay, so the people in verse 2 of Hosea 8 are crying out, my God, we know thee. We know thee. Verse 3. And here's where it gets to the nitty-gritty. Israel has cast off the thing that is good. Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The church in America and United States of America as a Christian nation has also cast off that thing which is good. And what is it? Well, Old Testament, Israel, here in Hosea, they cast off God's law. They cast off God's covenant. They cast off God's statutes, God's ordinances, God's judgments. They cast off God's ways, or learning God's ways, or knowing God's ways, or living in God's ways, and they chose to go the way of the nations, the heathen nations. Obviously, in America today, the United States of America, from the Supreme Court to the judiciary branch of government, to the legislative branch of government, to the executive branch of government, we have witnessed in 60 years or more, nearing more than even that, we have cast off God's ways. We have not gone the way of the Lord. We have cast off the thing that is good. And what was good? The moral righteousness that is afforded through the new covenant. And the laws that were in our nation were designed to protect our society from the evils that have swept through every other nation on the face of the earth since the beginning of time, when God's laws were not promoted. And so we as a nation have cast off restraint. We as a nation have cast off God's covenant, God's ways. But now we have to go down to the church, the ecclesia again, you and I. We have to ask ourselves, have we cast off that which is good? And again, I would ask you, how do you know if you have or have not? Because while a lot of people were casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, they had lost their way. They were not even saved. They were not in covenant. They weren't even known of the Lord. And you know that a covenant between a husband and a wife is all about knowing, intimate knowing. So when Jesus says, I know you not, there was no intimacy. And this is troubling. Why? Because the people of Israel, in this Hosea prophecy, they thought they were doing God's will. They thought they were hearing from the Lord. They thought they were hearing God's voice. They thought that God was okay with them. Meanwhile, God's sending prophet after prophet to Israel saying, you guys have cast off that which is good. You say you know me, but you don't know me. And you have broken my covenant. You have broken my law. So I'm asking the Christian community today, do we know the covenant of the new covenant? Do we know our part in the new covenant? And most people will simply tell you, yes, I have to have faith. But I would say in the book of James that you can have faith and not works, and your faith is no good. All right? So, and faith propels us to obey the word of God. I had a conversation yesterday with a gentleman that I told him, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And he said, you know what? Why is this new covenant becoming harder and harder? First, all we're supposed to do is have faith in Jesus and we go to heaven. But now you're telling me that if I don't forgive everybody, I'm not going to heaven. And I had to say to him, well, listen, if you have faith in Jesus, then you have to obey Jesus. You have to obey God. And he got really disgruntled because a lot of people today believe that if they just believe in Jesus, if they just have faith, separated from actually doing and obeying the covenant, that they're okay. And so when you tell them you're not going to go to heaven if you don't forgive everybody that's offended you, well, that's a they don't want to go there. And that's where a lot of people are today. And so the only way you and I know if we're breaking God's covenant, the covenant of grace, mercy, love, peace, joy, all these things, is if we're not obeying the scripture. So the only way we know is if we know the word of God and we don't do it. If we know what the word of God says and we do not do what the word of God says, then obviously we're not keeping our part of the covenant. Would you agree with that? Well, hold your questions. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Listen to what this is. And this is absolutely amazing because of where we are today. Verse 3 said, Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. And that's going on in our country right now. And maybe you have a spiritual adversary. Maybe there's a demonic presence that is pursuing your life to undermine God's purpose because you have disobeyed God. You're disconnected from the covenant. You say you know him with your lips, but your heart is far away. Your so-called ways with God are your own imaginations. They're your own inward construct of what you desire rather than having surrendered everything to God's will and obeyed him. Well, here's the problem, and tell me this isn't what's going on in our country right now. Verse 4, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes or Supreme Court justices or judges, and I knew it not. Wait a second. The prophetic word of the Lord through Hosea was that Israel was setting up kings and they've made their princes, but God said, but it wasn't by my hand. And he said, I knew it not. Not in the sense of, boy, that was a secret for me. No, I knew it not. I was not involved in it. So I've, again, heard people say for years and years and years, I've heard people say, well, if there are 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, God would not destroy it. And now that America has become Sodom and Gomorrah, if there's 10 righteous people, God will not destroy America. And I say to them, well, you forgot what Ezekiel 21 says. Ezekiel 21 says, even though Noah, Job, and Daniel, the three most righteous men in their generation, if they were in the city of destruction, they would only save themselves. And then Ezekiel 21 goes on to say that the sword that's going to be released against the land is going to touch the wicked and the righteous. And only Noah, Job, the elect righteous, the super righteous, if you will, the holy righteous, would deliver themselves. And so there's an imbalance of theology when it comes to these issues. Same thing with, it says in Daniel, I set up kings, and the earth is the Lord's, and he does what he wants. And yet, and everybody says, so that means every king, every president, every leader, every judge, every governor was set up by God. And yet in here in Hosea, we're being told they set up kings, but not by me. They made their judges. I knew it not. I wasn't involved in those decisions. I knew what they did in my knowledge, but I wasn't in my heart with them. And so, again, balance so that we can have wisdom to understand what time it is. But then it goes on a little bit further. They have made princes, I knew it not, of their silver and their gold. They have made them idols. They may be cut off. America is a prosperous nation, is it not? And in our prosperity, what have we done with it? We've created idols all over this land. Do you realize that America, this North American continent, is riddled with tumors? Idols are tumors. Idols are tumors. And this land is filled with tumors. Cancer tumors. Because of the idols that have been constructed with the wealth that God has given. And rather than using wealth to create an environment in the United States that would engage his presence, we have spent money on stadiums. Now, many churches that are called mega churches, they received a lot of money from people, and they built these mega structures. But in the mega structures, their theology, their doctrine obviously is a bit distorted because there's no real hunger or passion for holiness and righteousness and fiery indignation against wickedness and a stand against what is evil. Because if that had been the case, then we wouldn't be where we are today. Okay? So what we did with our wealth is we built stadiums, we built all kinds of things that have distracted people from God unto other things. We have built idols all over this nation, shopping centers, malls, get what you want, cars, boats, ships. I mean, we are the Laodicean luxurious age. There's no doubt when you travel around this country. But all the things that are there are not necessarily giving glory to God. And am I saying there's anything wrong with those things in and of itself? No. But at the same time, yes, because many times people are drawn away from the Lord towards the excess of desire, wealth, luxury, and it shouldn't be that way. Do you know in the genuine economy of Israel, listen to this, in the genuine economy of Israel, when David was a righteous king over that land, do you know what the most important part of their society was that all the nation rallied around? It was the temple. And it was a magnificent temple. I mean, it was a gathering place. David was going to build the house. There was another gathering place where David would resort to. But Solomon, let's go to Solomon. Solomon builds this magnificent temple for the glory of God. We know it was. It was for the glory of God. And that became the rallying place of all the nation of Israel. Then what they were satisfied with is when their crops came through, they had plenty of food, they had plenty of water, they had a blessed atmosphere, they were cheerful, and as they were serving God, they were content with having food, clothing, shelter. You know, they weren't buying hot rod cars, they weren't buying, you know, all these magnificent palaces. That wasn't important to them. What was important was their temple. But then when sin came in, the temple was no longer the main thing. Now, there are many temples in the United States of America, but I want to get on with Hosea chapter 8, because here's what it says beyond that in verse 5. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. My anger is kindled against them. How long will it be that they claim their innocency? How long will people that are sinning against God proclaim that they are innocent? For from Israel was it also. Now, I hear people all the time saying, if God is for us, America, who could be against us? And therein is an absence of reality. To think that God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God of the universe that's been around longer than anybody, seen empires rise and empires fall, that somehow he is for a nation that has slaughtered innocent babies in the womb, that he is for a nation that has pulled down his laws, promoted laws of create abomination. He is for a nation that is saturated in idolatry, adultery, fornication, pornography. He is for a nation whose churches are completely obliterated when it comes to a standard of righteousness and holiness. You basically have a bunch of people saying, grace, grace. And it's so greasy and it's so sloppy that it has no sanctifying power behind it to create a strength in the body of Christ to stand in the evil day. And yet everybody's claiming God is, if God be for us, who could be against us as a nation? Now, he may be for you, he may be for me, but that's only if we're keeping our part of the covenant. Are we obeying the word of God? And a lot of people don't like the word obey. They simply say, the new covenant has nothing to do with obedience. The new covenant, you know, we're not under the law. Obeying is like being to the law. Well, we could kind of calm down the verbiage if you want to and say, well, why don't you be a good little lad now and why don't you follow the instructions that the master physician has given? Oh, well, I could handle that. He's the great physician. He's given me some instructions, and all I have to do is follow them. Well, that kind of mellows out my rebellion. That levels out my hard-heartedness against obeying God. You know, I don't like that idea about obeying God, but I could follow the instructions. Then you ask, are you following what the word says? Are you doing what it says? Well, because it's a suggestion, I make a decision whether I choose to or not on any given particular day. If I feel like doing what it says today, I'll do it. And if I don't, then I won't do it. If I'm in a gripey, bad mood, then I won't. And if I'm in a happy mood and I feel okay, then I'll take the instructions. Because after all, my following the instructions is only about my well-being. If I want to be a nasty old whatever, then I'm just going to be there. And if today I want to take my medicine and feel better, then I will. Because it's all about me. And that is the problem with the new covenant that's been taught in our generation. It's all about you. It's all about me. It's all about how we feel, what we want, what we desire. And we could do it at our own pace. Well, that's not very healthy thinking, is it? When's the last time you read, or I have read, from Matthew to Revelation with a fine point comb? To ask a question, okay, here's the new covenant. It will explain my part in it and God's promises to it. Am I following it? Or am I picking and choosing special verses to make me feel good? Am I ignoring the hardcore verses of Scripture? And there are some hardcore scriptures in the new covenant. And to a people that are bound to the new covenant, their part in the covenant is to obey those hardcore verses. Ooh, we're going to touch on the golden calf of man's own religious ideas. And that is what it was. In verse 5 of Hosea, thy calf, thy idol. Okay? So man has taken a tool and he has fashioned a god for himself, a calf. And that god, that calf that they bow down to is the god that leads them into their own personal desires. And God is a little bit upset with that, so he says, your calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. My anger is kindled against them. How long will they eat by ear they attain to innocency? How long are they going to say they're innocent? Verse 6, for from Israel was it also. The workman made it. Listen now. Therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. In other words, the day is coming. Remember how it began. I'm going to send an adversary against the house of the Lord. God is going to send an adversary against the house of Christ. Because the house of Christ is not functioning. It is not in the order that is intended to be. There's a tremendous amount of idolatry in the camp. And you'd have to admit it. I'm not just being, you know, aggressive against anything. We had a beautiful unity meeting during the feast. It was awesome. But in reality, when you get down into the issue of the heart, there's grumblings. There's murmurings. There's complainings. There's self-serving ideas, self-serving. There are people saying, I had visions. I heard the Lord. The Lord said this. The Lord said that. God hasn't spoken a word to them. They're only operating and manufacturing their own desires, and they don't even know it. So here's what God says. Israel was doing the same thing. Verse 7, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It has no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. What does that mean? So the purposes of the people that are in silent rebellion to God's word, they're coming up with God ideas that aren't really God, but it has no stalk and it yields no meal. In other words, your visions are fruitless. The things you think God are telling you are fruitless because you have not obeyed in the first place the covenant. And this is where America has to really begin to examine itself. And not only America, but the church generally in America, and then the local churches, and then our own hearts. See, we have to examine our own hearts. When I was on the side of a mountain in the Teton Mountains, the thing that God got my attention about is the condition of my heart. The condition of my heart. And I believe that the reason why he allowed me to come through the airwaves and to speak and give testimony is because God's trying to tell people, listen, the most important thing in your existence is the condition of your heart. And the only way that the heart condition is right is when we obey the covenant. Are we tracking together? I mean, this is serious business. You may say, well, that's Old Testament. But again, it's an admonition. We're supposed to learn from it. That's what the New Testament says. So to the nation that has sown the wind of all these things that were just talked about, they are going to reap the whirlwind. To the Christian man, to the Christian woman that has sown the wind of disobedience, have been living for their own personal prosperity, they want the prosperity, but they don't want to put off the old nature. They don't want to walk in humility. They do not want to walk in obedience. They will not come under divine order. They are self-centered, self-serving, and they only manipulate everything and everybody to their own ultimate desire that's been working behind the scenes the whole time. I know people like this. I know people that say, thus saith the Lord, and their visions aren't true. I know people that say, this is what God said. This is what God showed me, and it's not true. I heard people, they have these ideas that it's from God, and it's not from God. It's their own desires that have been incubating, and they've learned how to manipulate everything around them to ultimately come to a place of fulfilling that desire. And I'm saying that unless every desire of the heart is on the altar of God and allowed to be slain like Isaac was by Abraham, you cannot even begin to accept. Remember when Abraham took his son and put him on the altar and then took a knife and was ready to kill him, then the angel stopped him and said, now I know, and now I can trust you with the covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is also a covenant of obedience. And definitely the new covenant in Christ is a covenant of obedience. And yet there are so many promises that everybody wants, and yet Abraham did not receive of the glory of God until God knew that he was willing to kill his only son, his favorite son. You see? And until every desire of your heart and every desire of my heart is on the altar of God. I mean every desire. So that there is nothing in us that can strategize or manipulate and create everything to come into what we desire. And you'll be amazed how crafty the devils are. They are crafty demons that have been operating in people since they were children. Or maybe even in the generational bloodline. And they have some deep desire that they want something so bad they do not even recognize on the surface how they're moving, manipulating, and putting God in it. And this is what was happening in Hosea. They were all saying, we know you, God. Now, why is this important? It's important, ladies and gentlemen, because of the last verse about reaping the whirlwind. And I want to share something with you, and I'll just share a little bit. And I want to walk through this. It's a prophetic word, and it begins this way. I am coming to shake up the approved social order of the day. I am coming to do great injury and wrong to that which is not of my father. My nature contends with the nature of the beast. This nature of the beast is in the heart of men who have not been sanctified by my spirit. That which has not been fully sanctified remains an offense to me, and I will be an offense to it. Yes, I will offend the beast in this hour. I will release a shockwave of glorious power that will cause the beast to reel to and fro like a drunken man. The nature of the beast has cleverly entrapped my people and has caused them to error in their hearts concerning what is acceptable to my father. Now think about that. I wrote this back in 2003, 2004. Think about that though. Clever activities of an unsanctified, unruly human nature, which is beast-like, has entrapped God's people and has caused them to error in their hearts concerning what is acceptable to my Father. That means that this human nature has twisted the new covenant to make it okay to continue to be carnal and earthly and it be okay with the Father. That's not the truth. Let me tell you the truth. God desires to elevate his people. Father God desires every single member of the body to be activated, to be content, to be satisfied because they're operating in the fullness of what he called them to do, right? And reality is that God will move by his Spirit to raise people up. And he'll do that through a fivefold ministry. He'll do that by his Spirit. He'll call people into the ministry. And when you have the proper order, you'll see apostles laying hands on people for the work of the ministry. They'll be released into it. So God wants people to arise into their destiny, but he doesn't, and he will not approve of their advancement unless the complete sanctification is accomplished. Now, what do I mean by that? Nobody's perfect, right? So we got to go on forever and ever. This approval that comes from the Father is when he unctions someone's graduation, when he unctions the advancement of an individual into the kingdom that's going to have impact, he knows that vessel is ready. And when the vessel has been chosen, but has not yet allowed the Spirit of God to sanctify areas in their heart, and yet they proceed to advance because there is a calling, so they advance in their own strength. In other words, they'll bypass the divine order of God, who will not allow them to go on until there is a sanctification. Now, God wants them to go on, but there has to be a sanctification. You consider Joseph, you consider David, you consider Moses, you consider Abraham, you consider the apostles, you consider everybody that has ever been advanced in the kingdom. They've had to come to the end of themselves. This is not talking about moral perfection here. This is dealing with issues of the heart like Peter. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he ran. He denied him. There was an issue that had not yet been dealt with. Does God want to advance you into the work of the kingdom? Yes, but it's not going to be by you forcing it to go forth. It's going to be by his approval, which will come through his ministry. Israel was advancing itself without God's approval. Israel was putting Supreme Court judges into power, and it wasn't God's will. They were making judges and princes, but God was not in it. So they erected their own society, their own kingdom by their own strength and their own means, and they said God was in it, but God wasn't in it. America is continuing to say God is in it, but God is not in it. And the church is undecided about this issue. Why? Because the church itself is doing the same exact thing. Listen to this part of the word. A learned practice. That's why they say it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks, right? A learned practice of what is acceptable to men has been the standard by which men have been judged, yet that standard shall be fully violated in this day. That's powerful. Religious leaders have led my people into complacency and have lulled them to sleep with their fairy tales and ideas that originate in their own minds. Their words are not my words, for their words carry no sanctifying power. Their words carry no influence in the realms of darkness to the liberating of the captives. That's amazing. Powerful thinking. I'd like to open the telephone lines up. If you're out there today, we're going to go check on our telephone lines. Maybe you'd like to comment on what you're hearing this morning. The number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. You need to press 1 on the dial pad. Now, this conversation is a very uncomfortable conversation, but it's a true conversation. It's the truth. You're hearing the truth. And it oftentimes comes right to where we are, right to where we live, right into our realm of influence, right into our hearts. And the most important thing is the condition of our hearts. How do you stand? What are you hearing this morning? The number to call, 818-369-0326. And let me give that number one more time, 818-369-0326. And what you want to do is press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you right into the broadcast and hear your thoughts. I mean, we've got so many people on the lines, and I know you're listening. I know you're out there. What are you hearing this morning? I mean, if you were to interpret what it's saying, let's take our first call coming in from 479-426. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I just called to let you know that your program today is awesome. My heart is rejoicing, and I love to hear the truth. I just think it's powerful, and I just love when the truth goes forward. Let you know I'm rejoicing in my heart.
Thank you. God bless you. You know, that's awesome. And so what is the truth that you're hearing from your perspective? What is it that you're really hearing?
Well, my heart is rejoicing every time you're talking during the program, like, yes, amen, yes, he's right, and I'm just like, I'm excited in my heart. I don't know, it's like tearing down in the spirit realm, what is maybe around, you know, all over the people who are listening the radio, but I'm so excited because the truth is being spoken. That's why I'm excited. It's like, yes, my heart
amen.
Is like overflowing, and it's rejoicing, and it's powerful. And I hope many people are listening because it's the truth.
Yeah, and the truth, the danger in what we're talking about is you go back to Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. They had manufactured their own system of religion. Yeshua comes in reality, and he's calling the people out, and then they want to kill him. And there are people today in religion and in our society that are promoting their own ways, and they're saying God is in it, but God's not in it. And it becomes a danger because it always opposes what God is really doing.
Amen. Amen.
So we've got to really buckle in. Well, thank you for your call. I really appreciate that. I'm so glad that God has blessed you in your heart this morning. Shalom.
I love the truth. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. The truth is a good thing. God bless you, too. All right. The number to call, 818-369-0326. We'll look forward to hearing from you by pressing 1 on your dial pad. You know, I love the truth, too. I love the truth, too. Let me, I was going to speak into that last kind of word that we were saying here as I was sharing with our caller. You see, Satan is a counterfeit. Listen to me. Satan is a counterfeit. Now, aren't we all supposed to judge ourselves first? I mean, if you're a Christian, don't you have to make sure you're a real one and not a counterfeit Christian? And how do you do that? How do you know you're a genuine, real believer belonging to God through the covenant of his son, Jesus Christ? How do you know it? How do you know that your heart, which is deceitful above all things, right? The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? How do you know your heart's in the right place? Let's take our next call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you, and welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes.
Good morning, Kathy.
It's Now, as I was reading and following what you were teaching in Hosea, and it came to that fourth verse about idols,
yes.
Of their silver and their gold, they have made idols. Now, having a swimming pool in your backyard, can that become your idol to advertise, you know, or say, yeah, I've got a pool or blah, blah, blah. Some idols. What are some of the idols?
That's a great question. I'll give you an example. I mean, I know it goes a lot deeper than this. When we were in Southern California, there was a, you know, you go down along the coast to Newport Beach, and what you have there is luxury, luxury, luxury. But in that same environment where luxury was promoted, it was all New Age. It was Antichrist. I mean, just look at California and how far left it's gone. And there are Christians there, and the Christians have to beware of not getting those tumors on them, those idols on them, in capitulating or joining in or touching the unclean thing. If a Christian is not willing to separate from the idols. Now, what is an idol? Anything that grabs our attention away from God. So does the swimming pool glorify God? Are there baptisms going on in that swimming pool? Or is that swimming pool part of, look what my hands have made. I've got my swimming pool. I could get a tan by the pool and, you know, just kind of wallow around in my luxury. Is that close?
Mm-hmm. So with whatever God does, bless the works of our hands, we should have humility and have the right motive behind what we are doing while we're on earth. And like you brought out, that intimacy with Jesus Christ is what counts in the end, because that's our what's in our heart.
Amen. It's all about intimacy, because that's the true relationship. That's covenant. Intimacy. And intimacy, my part in the covenant, he's the head. I'm not the head. I'm not the king. He's the king. And I'm to do what he tells me to do. And I've come to a point in my life, especially when I sat on the side of a mountain and thought I was going to die that day, that all the ambition, all the pushing, all the struggling, striving to build this or get that or do this, it's gone. What the church, the ecclesia, the people need to really be focused on is, what is the condition of my heart? God is going to advance his people, Kathy. God is going to do amazing things in his people. I happen to believe we're coming into the season of exploits, and others believe we're coming into the season of miracles. I believe that God is forming portals all over the place for people going in and out of heaven. Now, if you're going to ask me, Pastor Vince, would you like to build a big church, employ all your energy and call people to rally around and build a big church, or would you rather go out into the wilderness, into a vortex, and go in and out of heaven? What would you prefer? I'm going to the vortex.
Yes, that is what I want in my life personally. Kent has something he wants to bring out.
Yes, please. Sure.
Well, it's like the man that the Lord says to him, give away all you have and follow me. And he ended up, because he took such pride in what he had and what a great guy he was. And then when the Lord challenged him, I don't know if he ever did be able to do that. It didn't sound to me like he did.
Well, you know, some people have actually said that he was Barnabas, and then later on he came and laid everything down at the apostles' feet. I'd like to believe that, but we don't know, right?
That is true. So, I mean, I have some idols, and I mean, some of them I've been able to give up. Some of them I'm not sure if I have or not, you know. So as
well,
we go through life, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you have an idol that you're aware of, kill it today. Don't wait a second.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you know it's an idol. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we wouldn't want to hold on to it because it's a tumor, and tumors can spread. So we don't want idols.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, and physically. If you have a natural idol, kill it.
Yeah.
If you don't,
boy,
kill.
I tell you, this is it's total cleansing. Body, soul, and spirit. We've come to
gotta
that point.
That yep, it's got to be that way. But the glory like Abraham, who brought his son to the altar and was willing to kill it, then the release came for all the other things that God wanted to do. And God has prepared something so outrageously wonderful for his people, and the enemy is going to try to oppose that, you see, and he does it through his own ways. And yet there's something waiting for us. And if we get cleansed, if we take our idols and bring them to the altar and take the knife out to slay whatever it is that God's asking for, well, so be it. And we could do it, whether it's this radio ministry or whether it is the pulpit or whatever it is, a car, a boat, truck, whatever people have, money, gold, silver, doesn't close. If we're not willing to give it all away. Now, one of the secrets that I've learned in dealing with these issues is you hold on loosely. In other words, Paul said we have all things but possess nothing. And so, in other words, everything we need for life, we have it, but we don't possess anything, or we don't take a hard grip on it. Live in this life with a loose grip. If God has blessed you with something, rejoice in it. Accept it. Thank God for it. And if God has given it to you, then share it with others. That's what he says. If God has given you wealth, share it with others. If God has given you a car, use it to help other people when you can. Rejoice in what God has given you, but don't possess it. Utilize it. And the day that God asks for it, you'll be able to give it away. And so this is the cleansing, Kathy.
Yes, that is true. Hang on to everything loosely. Uh-huh. That is quite a statement. That is a good statement. Okay. I say amen to that. Ken's got one more thing.
Yes.
I figured it out. What you have is okay as long as you possess it, but it does not possess you.
Yeah. Yeah, you could hold on to something God's given you and rejoice in it, and it's a blessing, whether it's your spouse, your children, anything, your house, and God gave it to us. So we can steward it, we could manage it and use it for God's glory. When he asks for it, we simply give it to him. And it may be a hard thing to do, but Abraham did it. We can do it because we're in the Abrahamic covenant as well.
Amen.
You know what? It's hard, Ken, what we're talking about. It's hard to just ask people to give the tithe or the offerings. Sometimes people are holding on so tightly to what they have, they won't support what God is doing. And I'm using that as an example, because if God tells me, Vincent, shut down Omega Radio, I'll shut it down. He could have it. I possess this not. I do not. This is not my source of life. But people, when God asks them for little things, they just won't release it because they're depending on it. And I believe what God is saying is the time of depending on those things is going to come to an end. And God has things that he's prepared and provided for people that will take care of things. But anyways, that's just me rambling, Ken. It's
okay.
All good. God bless you, sir. Thank you for calling in today. And Kathy, thank you for calling in today. And for everybody tuned in, I'm going to leave you with a song from Keith Green. Up next, Patricia Joy Xavier, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. But wait, before I go, I've got another call coming in. I'll take it. I'll do good. Here we go. 696, you're on the air. Quickly, please.
Good morning. Quickly, joyful note. I have my tithe and offering. To God be the glory. I just got to get it into the Lord's hands. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
That woman gives her whole life. Okay, got to go here. Here's Keith Green. I don't want to fall away from you.
After all the things that you have shown me, I'd be a fool to let them slip away. Been doing things I know I shouldn't do, but I don't want to fall away from you.
Hello, everyone. What a wonderful, incredible program by Pastor Vincent Xavier. It is a blessing to hear what God has downloaded him with, because it is the truth. As it was spoken earlier with the precious woman that called in, she said, I loved what I heard because it was the truth. I love the truth. Listen, there's nothing greater than the truth, because the truth sets us free. And isn't that an incredible thing within itself? The truth of God sets us free. And there's nothing more wonderful than being set free. What could be better? If we have to get rid of idols, we do so because it sets us free. It makes us joyful. It makes us happy. It makes us wonderfully light and able to rise to a new level in glory. And in that, there is nothing but the answer to prayers and blessings and the love of the covenant. He talked about covenant. And what is covenant? Well, covenant is submitting to one another in love. That's why when we get married, we make a covenant with our partner. It is, body of Christ, folks, submitting to one another in love. And as we submit unto our Lord through faith, by faith, the grace is given. And that gift is the Christ, Jesus Christ, that he gave to us. He gave his only son in the covenant offering. And his only son, when received, will make manifested sons on the earth, more sons. And what are these manifested sons of God? They are more than willing to submit back to our Heavenly Father in love because of the wonderful work that was done unto them through the sacrificial work of Christ on the cross. Which means that what we have need of, it is totally and completely met. What our hearts desire in this covenant is completely and totally met. So what a wonderful experience for anyone who truly understands the work of covenant. You know, Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refuse to listen anymore. I pray, God, that you don't refuse to listen anymore, except that you decide to listen more than ever. They had become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. And when you have been brutally offended and put in position of being a slave to the enemy by your offense, this is something that hardens your heart. So we have to relearn. We must relearn and understand the true value of faith in God. At the time when this verse was written, that's in Exodus 6:9, the children of Israel, God's chosen people, were slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh's iron fist. And if we're not careful, under the slavery of Satan, we will end up without true covenant under Pharaoh's fist once again, and that is the fist of the globalists. It is the same concept and idea. Egypt representing the world, Pharaoh representing the globalists of this day. We will be put under their fist if we're not careful about our idols and how we covenant with our Lord, our part of the covenant. His part was already given through Jesus Christ, and that means he gave all. Now, the Lord had given them the promise that one day they would be freed from slavery and taken to the promised land. You have been freed from the slavery of the work of Satan's hand. And if that has been a true covenant between you and the Lord, you are being taken to the promised land. And what is the promised land? Where all the promises of God in scriptures are fulfilled in your life. Maybe you haven't thought of it this way, but the slavery to Satan does not give you open opportunity to receive the promises of God in your life, and they are many. They are in the hundreds, some say over 300 promises that are mighty, wonderful promises. However, when Israel faced opposition and weren't freed exactly when they thought they would be, they lost hope at the Lord's deliverance altogether. If we're not careful, by the offenses of our heart, in not forgiving all, as Pastor Vincent said, of one who mentioned to him, I have to do that too. Well, he was forgiven by an incredible sacrifice. That sacrifice was the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we hold anyone in bondage by not forgiving, whose sins we retained, or and through forgiveness we will release, if we hold anybody in bondage in that manner, then we have not been set free by the sacrifice that was made for us. The enemy has a wide way in. The door is open to come and afflict you in sickness, in disease, mental disorders, lack of faith, lack of hope, and no promises fulfilled. You won't know your destiny, and you will never understand your purpose for living. So the Israelites became so discouraged. That they refused to listen to God anymore. Their hearts became hardened because they chose to magnify their current situation instead of the Lord's faithfulness. Similar to the Israelites, as Christians, we too will face opposition. We too will face times of great suffering to not handle these things right. We too will have certain promises given directly to us from the Lord that we're still waiting to be fulfilled. Has that happened to you? And prayers we've cried out to him that have yet to be answered. But does this mean our God is not good? Does it mean his eyes are blinded to our suffering? His ears deaf to our cries? Absolutely not. God is good all the time. And all the time, our God is good. I know you probably saw that movie, God is Good. It was an incredible movie. And I'll tell you, are you still there with God? One thing you can be sure of is that God is working behind the scenes. The truth is, not only does God hear our prayers, but he also promises to answer them according to his will for our lives. It means God has reasons for his delays, reasons for how and when he chooses to answer our prayers, and reasons for our seasons of wanting, uncertainty, persecution, opposition, yes, even our suffering. And we do suffer. But you know, when we do suffer, the beauty of it is when I am weak, he is strong in me. And it gets even better. So nothing loses in this walk. What I love about the Lord is just how much his mercy, his grace, his goodness, his faithfulness is displayed in the lives of his children. Yes, the Israelites lost heart. And sometimes we do too. Yes, they were discouraged, and that's the way we get oftentimes. But God kept his promise to them. And I want you to remember this at all times. He delivered them out of Egypt and into the promised land. And that is where we're going. We're going into the promised land. Again, promises being fulfilled in our lives. Every one of them, if you read scripture from beginning to end, from the Old to the New Testament, have wonderful promises that are beyond what the church yet has experienced. And we are needing that experience now. So how are we blessed? We are blessed beyond our wildest dreams, not because we're good people, far from it, but because we are his chosen people if we have covenant with him. Who's good? Only God is good. We are constantly fighting our thoughts. We are constantly going against God's will when we get angry, when we become fearful. All these things are not his will. Anger, fearfulness, resentment, bitterness, they're not his will. Offenses, they're not his will. Unforgiveness, they're not his will. But don't forget how God parted the Red Sea, and he'll part our Red Sea. How he knocked down the walls of Jericho. He's going to knock down those walls that have been the hardness of our heart, and used a shepherd boy named David to defeat the giant Goliath with only a stone and a sling. And that stone is the word within our mouth. And that sling is when we speak it out and we tear down the giant Goliath in our life. We knock down the walls that have been surrounding our hearts. They become softened when we see the power of God, Jesus Christ, as our shepherd, our great shepherd, to defeat the giant within us. As we speak, the stone comes out and the sling goes boom to the enemy and he flees from us. But we have to know it's true, and we have to have faith in that word that we have been given. And don't forget how God turned water into wine, opened the eyes of the blind, healed the sick, and sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, in this world to die on a cross and rise again for the forgiveness of our sins, why we must forgive others for their sins. We've been forgiven. But if we won't forgive others their sin, the scripture is clear. We're not forgiven. It's not our idea. It's the word of God. Did he make it hard? No, he didn't. It is easy through the Holy Spirit to forgive if we have the Holy Spirit. Perhaps what we really need to ask ourselves is the question, do we really have the Holy Spirit in our lives? And if there is a question in your heart about whether or not you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, read 1 Corinthians 12. Read the whole chapter and then receive the wonderful work that has been given to the body of Christ to empower you to forgive. You will see the wonderful gifts that were granted. So how truly great is our God? So if God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, then is anything too hard for him? Nothing. Is anything impossible? Impossible for him? No. The answer is surely no. But we have to grab hold of the facts. We have to grab hold of the truth. Again, truth is beautiful. It's wonderful. And it sets us free. The only thing that doesn't set us free is mixture. And what is mixture? It is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That we have mixture. We don't have all the truth. We are deceived in some areas, and those areas are where we have to clean up, or else we're going to be deceived just like Adam and Eve. And the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to forgive us and give us a new start, a brand new fresh start, is there for us if we understand that real truth, real knowledge is given in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of our Heavenly Father that Jesus sent when he resurrected to heaven and took his blood and put it on the altar of his Father. the throne of God and sent his Holy Spirit to us. So how do we know Jesus Christ? How do we know our Heavenly Father? Is it through true covenant of submission to one another in love? He submitted his Son. That was the greatest love he could have given. We submit our own will and do his will. That's the greatest love we can return with. In doing so, we know the truth. The truth is given to us, and then we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. By asking for this wonderful empowerment, we have it. And then we go forth to set other captives free. Who Christ sets free is free indeed. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, and our God is able to do abundantly over and above anything we can ask for. God, are you going to keep your promises to us? Folks, he already has. He is faithful to his word. But have you kept your promises of the covenant? It is very important to know. You know, you may have weaknesses, but God has strength. You may have sin, but God has grace. You may fail, but God remains faithful. What a beautiful covenant, my Lord. All we have to do is say, yes, I agree. I submit my will. I want my sin gone. I don't want to fail anymore. I want to remain faithful. I don't want to be a weak Christian anymore. I want to be strong, empowered by the Holy Spirit. If God says it will happen, then it will. And if he says it won't happen, then it won't, according to your will. And the name of our Savior is faithful and true. Revelation 19:11. We can trust him, body of Christ. We can trust him implicitly. God will never deceive us, play tricks on us, lie to us, or lead us on in order to let us down. Just because we may not see God's almighty hands at work in our lives now, it doesn't mean that he's not working. You may not discern properly because you don't have the full truth. You've had some deception in your life, and you're not discerning how he is working in your life perfectly, rightfully. And just because we still are waiting for God to fulfill a promise, it doesn't mean that he's never fulfilled it. Again, you may not be recognizing the fulfillment of that promise until by the Holy Spirit it dawns on you. The truth will set you free. And just because God may choose to allow us to experience hardship, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care, because he's trying to show us where when we are weak, he is strong for us until we come to the fullness thereof, of total and complete glorious work in our life, submitted unto the truth and therefore made whole, spirit, mind, and body. They call it the overcomers, the manifested sons of God who walk by the Spirit. We can do this if we only believe. It's during these times that we need to really hold on to the promises he gives us without wavering. Our faith is going to be tried over and over again by the enemy. The Lord allows it to happen so that we understand that we're not yet walking by faith, that Satan comes in and causes us to stumble. And he'll come in, how? Through anger, unbelief, disbelief of any kind, bitterness, anxiety, fear, stress. These are all a lack of faith, folks. And when we begin to really understand what faith is, when we become fearful about anything, we go, nope, I give this to the Lord. He's going to take care of this. Lord, this is my concern. In everything, I come to you about it. In all things, I come to you through prayer and supplication. And I let my concerns, my anxiety, my fears be known unto you. And then the prayer of faith comes in and raises you up, because you went to him in your fear. You went to him through your anxiety and stress and unforgiveness within your heart. And you prayed to him. And the prayer of faith raises you up, and the Lord takes care of it. But you must know it. That scripture I gave you. Be worried for nothing. Be concerned for nothing. And the prayer of faith will raise you up. We have to stop allowing our feelings, our emotions, to take precedence over the truth of God's word. Either we have faith in the word, which is the most dynamic power that has ever existed in the universe and the universes and solar systems, is the truth of his word. His word came out from him as electrolyte pouring in to the universe and changing and magnificently making everything that you see. He is the first and the last. He is all things. And he is true. He is real. And the Father is accessible to us through Jesus Christ and that great sacrifice for our sins. Because he can't, he's so perfect. The Father is so perfect. He can't even look upon sin. It's not available to look upon. He is so pure. But Jesus Christ made it accessible for us to go right to him in our sin, because it's been forgiven, washed clean by the blood of Christ, that great covenant promise made for us. And the word is the word of faith. The glorious word that was brought forth is the word of faith. And nothing, no words spoken by any guru, any false god, any Hindu god, any Zoroaster god from Egypt, any gods of the universes or goddesses from the universes that have been created by the work of the evil one, is the word of faith. None of it. That's why the world is in the shape it's in. The people that have received the word of faith, true faith through the true God, the only true God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as one, has the power to overcome all deception. And there is great deception in false religions. That's why everything has been falling apart at the seams. Now, the United States used to be prosperous, most blessed nation in the world, until we start buying deception into our universities by the so-called intellectual professors that argue but have no true relationship with the power of truth, the living Father. And so the evil one, the devil, speaks through their mouth, and they look intelligent. They appear to be of great wisdom and knowledge, but their intelligence is nil. In fact, none. And there lies communism, socialism, and all of the false gods of the world, Lucifer himself, the dark god of this universe, this world, not the universe, this world, is using each and every one of the intellectual so-called professors of the universities and the schools that have taken in the lie. Our planet is getting demoralized, and our nation has fallen. And that's why you see what you see through the great deception. And greater than that is the stronghold of the work of the deep state, the globalists taken over this earth, whose hearts are wicked and evil and think only of themselves and no other. Selfish. and want to destroy mankind in the way they operate so they can be the power. Well, I got news for them. There's no power there. No one can come up against the power of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that's in the man soul who has expressed their love for the true and living God. And we had it, and we were once a great nation. And now that it has been torn away through various presidents who have not had it and brought their power through globalists into this nation, we have been suffering greatly through what we see. Fear has come upon us. And now we are noting that there is such darkness and confusion and division. We don't know what side is up. And we have been the last bastion, the United States of America, to stand against the evil forces. But they have come in through the presidencies, the globalists that have been controlling this nation for the last 100 years. And we're coming to the fulfillment of it right now. But the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and his promises that has been granted to us by the word of God and our Heavenly Father, who is the creator of this planet and all the universes that have ever existed, all planetary order, all darkness, all light, everything exists in him. He allows the darkness, but it is a deception that we have desired. And it happened through the fall, and we haven't overcome it, but we are. We need to stop doubting God and start trusting that he knows what's best for us. We must stop even thinking whether or not we could trust him. We can trust him implicitly, and walking blindly, solely by faith is sometimes the hardest thing for us to do. But our God has a perfect track record. When we look back at what he's already provided and what he's already done in our lives, come on, admit it. You would not be where you are. You probably would have been destroyed already, or at least thinking about suicide or hospital bills that are beyond anything you could ever dream of, or divorces galore, or children disobeying your love, respect and honor for you, controlling your life. That's what they're doing. They're rising up. Most children of the parents today are rising up and controlling the parents. Darkness hit this universe and our planet. Are we going to allow it to stay? Okay, we can rest assured that he will also make a way. Is we're currently going through. I want you to bless this radio station with your prayers. I think we have the answer. I believe, I know we have the answer. We're not 1,000% perfect, but we have answers to help. We have seen people's lives change over and over and over again. We have seen miracles at the Feast of Tabernacles that were exceptional, more than I've seen since I've been a Christian. The time has come, and they're real. They're not false. They're not drummed up, make-believe miracles. They're real miracles. The time has come with the supernatural work of God, because we have kept covenant with him. The power lies within the covenant. The power lies by the Holy Spirit within you. That was also a covenant given unto us. God bless you. May your day work in a most extraordinary way today for your life.